Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. We welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line Patrick Wood. And Patrick has been at this game just about as long as I have. He certainly worked with Professor Anthony Sutton. Anthony Sutton, who I knew very well, lived right here in Santa Cruz, and helped him write a book called Trilateralists Over Washington many years ago. And Professor Sutton had been at the Hoover Institute and had written a number of key books to help us understand how people of great wealth here in the United States financed the Nazi movement, financed the communist movement, creating the best enemies that money could buy, and of course, plunging America into a horrible, horrible war, the Second World War. But, you see, it was to serve a purpose, because out of that was to come the United Nations, which would become the world government, at least that was what was hoped. However, that move towards world government has been delayed, and here we are now, almost 60 years after the end of the Second World War, and the world government is not here yet, but they're still working to bring it about. And from generation to generation, nothing changes. They have a goal, they have an objective, and they're using the wealth and the military power of the United States to bring about a new world order and a world religion. Well, Patrick is going to be with us tonight, and we're going to be talking about global banking and the Bank for International Settlements and the move towards a global currency. Patrick, thank you so very much for being with us.
Glad to be here, Dr. Stan.
Well, why don't you just tell us a little bit about, of course, you've gone into the background of the Bank for International Settlements, which is really the most important bank in the world, and yet most people have never heard of the BIS, or the Bank for International Settlements. Tell us about it, why it's important, and where we're headed.
Well, that's correct. It's a very low-profile organization. Founded in 1930, though, it's the oldest international banking organization in the world. It was, by its own admonition from the beginning and even now, they call themselves the Central Bank for Central Bankers. And that's exactly what they are. They're not a commercial bank. They're owned by the individual central banks, the major central banks throughout the world, for instance, like the Federal Reserve or the Bank of England. And they collectively, they meet 10 times a year, and they're based in Basel, Switzerland. And they essentially set monetary policy for the world in the same sense that Alan Greenspan, for however many 18 years, has set monetary policy for the United States.
So they are the central banker's central bank.
That's exactly
and of course, in your treatise, you point out that the central bank really runs the United States. Certainly, everybody thinks we elect our president, we elect our elected representatives, but those who control the monetary policy really control the government. Isn't that true?
Well, there's a very complex symbiotic relationship that exists between the Federal Reserve and the government. Since the Federal Reserve was started in 1913, there's been a need for the two organizations to work together. The bankers, of course, got interest and the tremendous amounts of profits by the relationship with the government. But what the government got was the ability to borrow money, essentially at no immediate cost, to push the debt off onto generations that would come in the future. And so the government has been able to expand spending.
Hold that thought right there for just
yes,
a moment.
Sir.
I think an understanding of the finances of a nation is important to understand what really goes on in a nation. Well, I guess it's Patrick Wood we're talking about, the central banker, central bank. So pick up the story there, Patrick.
Well, the relationship between the United States government and the Federal Reserve System in America, which is comprised of all the various central banks around the country, they've had a curious symbiotic relationship for ever since the Federal Reserve was founded. Because it allows the government gets borrowed money, essentially. They can borrow money for financing stuff. When you can't tax enough from the people, you go out and borrow some. And so we have a tremendous $7 trillion national debt today that has been made possible by the Federal Reserve System in America. The bankers, of course, have gotten rich on interest and loan fees and brokerage fees and stuff over the decades. Imagine that same kind of a relationship existing on a worldwide basis, and that's exactly what the BIS, the Bank for International Settlements, does. It's a central bank for central bankers, and collectively, it handles the transfer of foreign exchange and gold and currency back and forth between the various central banks, major central banks, especially of the world. They probably.
Thank you. 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 Thank you.